Welcome to the Arlene Pelicane Podcast, your stop for encouragement that works. I'm Arlene Pelicane, author of 31 Days to a Younger You, no surgery, no diets, no kidding. For encouragement videos, my blog, and more, visit arlenepelicane.com. On today's podcast, you'll hear my interview with superstar speaker and author Thelma Wells. Thelma has authored several books and is known to many as a popular Women of Faith conference speaker. You're going to love this encouraging conversation about the power of a smile to transform your life. So get ready to win with Mama T. You are my smiling Mama T.
All right. I'm glad about that. Thank
you. That's right. So I wanted to ask you, you know, how did you, a lot of people would say, well, if I came from the background that you came from, Thelma, I wouldn't be able to smile, you know, and it would have, you know, and I have a feeling from even a young age, you were already still smiling, even though your circumstances were real difficult. So what advice would you give to the woman who says, you know, that's nice, but I'm just not born with a cheerful disposition. You know, some people, it's genetic, they're born with it. What would you say to them to say, lighten up, you know, here, introduce this smile to your face? What advice would you give to them?
The first thing I would say to them is, get over it.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying it like that is that we were all born with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Okay, we are physical, we are emotional, and we're spiritual. Because God's Spirit is in us, according to Psalm 139, 13 through 17, because we are made fearfully, that is, in the image of His Spirit, reverently, and because we are made intricately, He has placed in each of us the ability to smile.
Yes.
A part of His nature is smiling. If you look at Jesus even, He laughed a lot.
Yeah.
He had a lot of fun.
Yes.
He really did. And even in His Word, it says laughter is good medicine.
Yes.
And so I would say to people, particularly women, you have a responsibility in your home to create an atmosphere of joy.
Yes.
And that atmosphere of joy cannot be fulfilled if you are frowning, fussing, screaming, yelling, putting people down, wanting people to be like you who are not like you, even your children.
Yes.
And causing yourself trauma by being a perfectionist. Oh, I have a definition for perfectionism.
Let's hear it.
Perfectionism is a psychotic, neurotic syndrome designed to make you feel guilty when you don't do what you think everybody wants you to do.
That's right.
And I got that from my own perfectionism syndrome after I got married. I thought my husband wanted me to do everything, and I had to do everything right. Da, 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 da. Girl, I almost had a nervous breakdown. And I decided this ain't worth it. I'm going to go back to smiling.
That's okay. Right.
Smiling sets off, of course, in your brain, endorphins that are healing, soothing, powerful. When people see you smile, as well as when you smile yourself.
Yes.
And so smiling is not something that we cannot do.
Yeah.
Everybody has the ability to smile. And I went into the store the other day, and this young lady was a pretty young lady, but she had the worst look on her face. Her customer service was like silent. And so I said to her as I finished paying for what I was getting, I said, you know, you're such a pretty girl. And I bet you have a pretty smile. Let me see your smile. So she gave me one of those, you know,
right.
one of those little grins like, you better get out of my face. But at least I gave her a half a second to increase the endorphins in her, which takes care of headaches, narrows the accessibility, if you will, to heart attack, makes the blood flow more evenly, and causes people to be drawn to you.
Yes.
Because you were smiling.
Even if it's a sarcastic smile like she might have done, it was still worthwhile.
It was still worthwhile. That's right. Because her face moved, and the muscles in her face moved. And you know what? You have fewer lines in your face when you smile. Did you know that?
That's right.
you don't get wrinkles nearly as fast.
Yes.
When you smile. Because, see, you're exercising those muscles in your face. You know, yeah.
That's right.
And I'm 68 years old. I don't have any lines
in
my face.
All...
Now, some of it, of course, could be genetic because of the melanin in my skin. But, baby, I love to smile.
That's right.
My mama liked to smile. She really did. In fact, I grew up in a smiling family.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I grew up, I was raised by my great-grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And both my great-grandparents loved the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that attributes to our ability to smile is that when we have the joy of the Lord living in us,
mm-hmm.
You see, even though my background was really, really rough,
yeah,
I accepted Jesus when I was 4 years of age, Arlene,
yeah,
and I knew what I was doing. Because of my true acceptance of the Maker who made me, of His Son who redeemed me, of the Holy Spirit who came to reside in me, I had joy in my heart,
yes,
even though I didn't have happiness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's such a difference. Joy is the knowing, even when you're not sure you know, that you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and don't have to fear any evil. I lived in a family who loved to sing. Now, they couldn't sing. Okay, Arlene. I mean, well, let me tell you, it was like singing in the shower and shutting up when you get out.
That's right. It's a personal family thing.
Yeah. But we sang a lot.
Yeah.
And at my church, there was music all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was infiltrated, if you will, with gospel music.
Yeah.
Now, when I would get into trouble, or when I say trouble, I don't mean being naughty, but I mean felt bad about things. One of the things that my grandparents would always do was say, sing, baby, sing to Jesus. And in singing to Jesus, I learned that I could sing in the closets of life, and I could still smile.
Yes.
When I was placed in the closet by my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who was a very mean woman,
yeah,
a very cantankerous woman, a woman who did not love, I don't think, anybody, including herself, including my mother, who was an unwed, crippled teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was allowed to go visit my grandparents, my granddad would go to work. He loved me, and he laughed all the time.
Oh,
he just teased me, and I just loved him, I'm telling you. But when he would leave, my my grandmother would put me in the closet. I didn't know anything to do and never to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I sung the hymns of the church, the songs of the church, and I would sing myself to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I would get out of that closet, and I had no trauma, no anger, no bitterness, no confusion, none of that.
Yeah.
And now I know, since I'm a grown lady and have had my other major, major issues in my life,
mm-hmm,
that God met me at the point of that need as a little girl.
Yeah.
And covered me. So with protection, his protective covering. And when I got out of the closet, I was able to smile.
Right.
I saw my granddaddy, and it would be the biggest grin on my face.
Because
I knew he would say, "Pooch, what's going on?" That was his affectionate name for me. And he would promise me to take me to the movie. He would give me something. So smiling has been a part of my upbringing, even though it was rough.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say a person who doesn't smile much, you need to check if you've really been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes. So your beautiful, contagious smile comes from your deep understanding of who you are, whose you are, and then you can see how that smile has attracted people to you all your life. You know,
that's
you
right.
Could, if you did your life different, you had a do-over, and instead you had a sour or bitter, sad disposition throughout your life, still the same person, I doubt you would have made the impact that you have made today.
You know, you're right. And let me tell you why I know you're right. I have some wonderful comrades in the speaking and writing industry.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm seeing some of them become heartened and bitter,
mm-hmm,
frustrated and desperate.
Yeah, like you would see in any profession, yes.
That's right. And I'm hearing from a few other people that I can't hire her,
mm-hmm,
because her attitude is bad.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't smile, people think we have bad attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And when our smile is not genuine, they think it's a bad attitude.
Yeah.
You see?
Yes.
And people can see straight through us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is.
Yeah.
And so not smiling hinders you to grow, hinders you from growing in your profession. It hinders you from having great relationships in your family. It hinders you from getting well from an ailment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then my stomach burst. And I've had some other issues. And there was just a little bit of time during that time in 2006.
Yeah.
That I didn't smile much.
Mm.
And do you know what? I started getting gripey, whining, complaining, behaving like a victim. Do you know that? But God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, chastised me. He spoke to me in my spirit, and he told me to stop being stupid.
He said, pick up one of your books, Thelma.
Read your own stuff, preach to yourself, you know, and live what you preach.
Yeah.
And so because I knew it was him.
Yes.
Telling me that.
Yes.
And he asked me a question. He said, do you know who you are? Before I could answer that question, in my mind, in my spirit, he said, do you know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
I am the God who suffered, bled, and died for you.
Mm-hmm.
I got up from the grave with the keys to your situation in my hand. Take these keys and walk through the door.
Yes.
And guess what? I started smiling again.
That's right. And I bet your songs came back and
oh, yes,
all
yes.
that.
Yes, because you do lose your song.
Yeah.
You lose your testimony. You lose a lot of great things when you don't smile. Now, when I say lose, I mean they're always available to you,
mm-hmm.
but you send them underground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
you
send them underground. My grandbabies, I've got 9 now, girl. I'm telling you, my children are having babies like rabbits, you know? But I've got 9. I've got 3 great grandchildren.
Yes.
They enjoy being around Grammy.
Because Grammy's fun.
Yes, because when they see me, I'm smiling.
That's right.
When I chastise them, I'm firm,
mm-hmm.
but I always hug them.
Sure.
And let them know I love you, and that's why you have to learn to do right.
That's right.
I'm smiling.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When we're out somewhere and they don't do right, I put on my okay.
That's right.
Stop
don't,
it.
Yeah, that's
but
enough.
But immediately thereafter, I will say to them, let me see you smile.
Yeah.
Come on, smile for Grammy. Because I know what that smile can do.
Yes.
And immediately, most of the time, they pop back in place.
Yeah.
Because they have done what it takes to pop back in place.
That's right. They're in the right place again.
So smiling is so therapeutic. It gives you great energy when you smile. It takes less muscles to smile than it does to frown. And if you don't believe me, just try it right now. Frown and see how your face hurts. And smile and see how your face relaxes.
I tried it. It's true.
It's true. Yeah, it's really true. It's really true.
You know, we have a 2-year-old girl. And we tried to teach her, you know, of course, not to whine when she asks for things, et cetera. So my husband, James, is really darling. He'll say, okay, let me see your happy face. Let me see your smile when she's, you know, like, well, I need my cup, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
So she'll do this really fake smile. It's hysterical. She scrunches up her eyes and she does this little fake smile. And it is just precious. But after the fake smile, the real smile comes very shortly thereafter. And I think for us, too, sometimes we might feel like kind of fake, like we feel like, oh, we don't feel like smiling, so we're going to be genuine to our feelings. So we don't want to be who we're not, so we're not going to smile and be someone we're not. So sometimes you kind of got to fake it to make it. You got to fake that smile, and then the genuine article will come. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. Who is that? Zig Ziglar, I think. That coined the phrase, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, maybe so.
I love Zig Ziglar.
Yes.
And you know, he's a great example of a smiler.
Exactly.
Yes, he's a very, very, very dear friend of ours. And all my life that I've known him, he and the redhead have been smiling.
Yes.
He smiled through grief.
Yeah.
and he smiled through sickness and disease.
Yes.
And he smiled when his company was going through changes, and he smiled at so many things.
Yeah.
And we can take him as a legacy of smiling though your heart is breaking.
Yes.
You see, you want to be around people who smile a lot.
Yeah.
You want to be around people who are positive.
That's right.
As we also will live together in Christ through eternity with Jesus, smiling.
Yes.
And having a good time.
That's right.
And praising him.
Yes.
And honoring him. I'm talking about honoring the Lord.
Yeah.
And shouting praise and singing around it. There will not be a frown in heaven.
That's right.
It's going to all be smiling and hallelujah.
That's right. Might as well get ready now.
Might as well get ready now. Practice.
That's right.
Now.
All right. After that conversation, you have got to be smiling, at least just a little bit. Thelma Wells really illustrates to me that you can smile through your circumstances, not because of them, but in spite of them. And it's not because of our own strength, but it's about the power of God working in us. And I really appreciated the reminder that Thelma gave today that we as women have the responsibility of creating an atmosphere of joy at home. Wow, that's convicting sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we don't feel so joyful, but we have to act happy many times, and then we feel happy. Those feelings, they follow our actions. So, ladies, I interviewed Thelma Wells because she is the queen of smiling, and because of her wonderful smile and her joy that just exudes from her, people like us, we want to listen to what she has to say. So I interviewed Thelma for my book, 31 Days to a Younger You, no surgery, no diets, no kidding, to get more about how Thelma finds joy in everyday living and how she, when I interviewed her, she was 68 years old. Now that interview was last year, so she's even a little bit older now. So how does she have the kind of energy that she has? How does she do that? So I found out a little bit more about that in the book, and you will hear more about that on our next podcast, where I will give you part two of the conversation with Thelma Wells. And she's going to give her tips on nutrition and on true beauty. And you're going to find out what she likes to put in her salad and what she eats and what she drinks. So this is a real behind-the-scenes look with Thelma Wells that you won't get anywhere else. So I hope that you will join me again for the next podcast. And remember my book, 31 Days to a Younger You. It's available anywhere fine books are sold. And you can visit my website, arlenepelicane.com, for more information.